Hey, welcome back to the Ministry Growth Show. Most churches would say they care deeply about the next generation. And in many cases, their budgets might show it. Their calendars might show it. But here's the quieter, harder truth. Do their discipleship systems show it? Because it's one thing to host events for your kids. It's another thing to form disciples. Today's conversation explores what happens when churches stop treating children as future believers and start seeing them as present disciples. My guest is Trevor from Tomorrow Clubs International, a ministry that spent nearly three decades equipping local churches to disciple children and teens through scripture, relationship, and long-term faithfulness. We talk about how this work began on the streets of Ukraine, why children's discipleship is often misunderstood or minimized, and what kind of fruit emerges when churches commit to small, faithful steps over time. You'll hear stories from war-torn regions, rural villages, and local churches where children didn't just attend programs, they became disciple makers whose faith shaped their families and communities. If you're a pastor, ministry leader, or parent asking what faithful discipleship really looks like for the next generation, this conversation is for you. Let's jump in. Trevor, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Zach. Looking forward to our discussion. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, so for our listeners who may be hearing this about Tomorrow Clubs International for the first time, what is Tomorrow Clubs International? What do you guys do? How do you work? How did the organization get started? Give us a little origin story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Tomorrow Clubs is really about fulfilling the Great Commission. And we do that by strengthening the church, and we strengthen the church by teaching children and teens to learn to follow Jesus. And we do this by equipping the local church with both biblical training and biblical curriculum that is age appropriate for their kids. So we're all about working with the local people who God has called to their communities. And it started over 27 years ago. So in 1998, Paul and Cindy Marty were working in Ukraine. They were actually doing microfinance, which is about as far as it gets from children's ministry, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And they saw a need. They saw a need as they were at church. There were no young people in the church. And they decided to fill that need with the Spirit's leading and ended up starting some small clubs. At the time, they weren't really called clubs. They were just kind of get-togethers to bring kids together and learn about Jesus. And really, the Lord took it from there.
Awesome. So what was maybe the original burden that they saw that or the problem is they were doing microfinance, they realized, hey, there's another opportunity here.
Yeah, so they originally traveled to Ukraine because Cindy had this intense burden to serve the people of Ukraine. Cindy grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, and after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a lot of Jehovah's Witness pouring into the country, and she really wanted to go in and present the gospel. So because of that, Paul was looking for opportunities in Ukraine, and the Lord really orchestrated an opportunity for them to do microfinance in Ukraine. And out of that, Cindy was just sharing the gospel with, you know, individuals and churches and trying to be a light. But all the churches that they went to, there was only, you know, older individuals in the church. And they, yeah, realized that, you know, in 20, 30 years, maybe even less, there's not going to be churches here if we don't minister to the kids, if we don't disciple the kids. Mm. And they started, yeah, just doing these clubs in the streets of Ukraine. And out of that, churches actually were planted and grew, and kids started to come to church. And it really came at a pivotal time for Ukraine because, you know, churches were really deemed as cults by the state and weren't really, there wasn't a lot of advocating for going to church. So they were really the advocates to spur the church on to disciple the next generation. Mm.
That's cool. So, well, and as we get started today, can you just share a little bit about your role and responsibility with the ministry and how you got started in all this?
Yeah. So I started just about a year ago. And so I'm coming in after, 27, 28 years of them doing great work, mainly in Eastern Europe and Africa. And mm-hmm. my role is director of development for Tomorrow Clubs. So a lot of my work is with donors, helping them get more engaged with the ministry, sharing stories. And then I also do spend some time in the field, getting to encourage our laborers in the field, but also one of my favorite parts is I get to hear stories from them that I can share with donors and take back, which is really sweet. So a lot of reason for my role was, about 3 or 4 years ago, Tomorrow Clubs launched into Africa. And at that point, we saw a real need for growth in the ministry. The average age in Zimbabwe, for example, is around 17, compared to the US, which is around 35. So there's just a lot of kids. And with that, we realized that if we had more funding, if the Lord was opening up doors for growth, we were going to need more funding. And yeah, that's kind of what opened up my role.
That's cool. What kind of shaped your personal conviction of discipling children as maybe a central part of following Jesus?
Yeah, I think a lot of us come to know Jesus at a young age. That's not true for everyone, but I think the statistics show that around 70% of believers come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior before the age of 18. So I think that was true for me. So that really resonated with me and the importance of growing up in the church, being discipled at a young age. And then the way Tomorrow Clubs does discipleship is really based on relationship and based on a long-term approach, which also resonated with me because I had so many godly mentors that God had placed in my life that really I didn't deserve, but was just really by the grace of God given. And I saw that in the ministry that we were trying to provide these local community members to be disciples for the next generation. And yeah, I just think there's so much power in that.
Mm-hmm. And talk to me a little bit about that discipleship approach. What does that look like for you guys? Every ministry approaches discipleship or defines discipleship a little bit differently. So how are you guys coming at this, or what angle are you coming at this with regards to discipleship, and how do you contextualize it for children specifically?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you're right. Discipleship, I feel like discipleship is used so often and can sometimes be watered down. We can say discipleship is going to the movies with someone, but what really is biblical discipleship? And we have what we call our four pillars of discipleship. And the first one is that it's based on relationship. So we, want our leaders to have a relationship with the children of their group, of their club. And a lot of times the clubs that are operating are more of a small group, one leader for 12 kids, 15 kids, maybe even less. They can really dive into relationship. The second is centered on action and personal example. So we don't want them just lecturing, but we want these kids to be able to see our leaders in the church, in the everyday workplace or everyday on the street, representing the Lord in a way that mm-hmm. Would show these kids what it means to walk with Christ. The third is measurable. So we want to be able to track spiritual growth. And that's difficult at times, right? It's hard to measure your relationship with Christ. But what we mean by that is we want to just be able to track whether it's membership attendance, these kids going from, one group to the next. There's different age groups. We just want to make sure that they aren't just coming for 1 week, but that they're hopefully in for the long term for these Tomorrow Clubs. And then lastly, we really want multiplication. We don't want these kids to grow up to say, well, that was awesome that I was discipled, and now I'm just going to keep that to myself. We really want mm-hmm. to make them disciple makers, that they know how to go forth and be able to share the gospel and represent God through their actions and hopefully multiply the kingdom.
Mm. Yeah. When you look at the church today, where do you think, or where do you see maybe some of the greatest gaps when it comes to discipling children?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the biggest gap that we've seen, and I feel like I've heard from our leaders in the field, is that a lot of times discipling children can just be labeled as glorified babysitting, and you don't really have programs. You just say, hey, let's get these kids together, and let's, because we don't want them being loud in the church, so let's just get them together and we'll just play some games and we'll say Jesus a few times and talk about who he was. And you know, if they're listening, that's great. And there's just not a lot of intentionality put into it. And I think that's often because the adult ministry is seen as just more important. And I think a lot of times that's because it's just easier. You know, kids don't have as long of attention span. And then secondly, I think that there's just frankly not a lot of money put into discipling children. So there's just a lack of resources at times. And that's what we try to, or we do provide all of our curriculum for free and all of our training for free, because we really want to equip that church with curriculum and training so that they can go and evangelize their communities and disciple their children.
So you guys are specifically doing this through local church bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a relationship with 1,200 churches. Primarily, like I said, in Eastern Europe and Southern Africa. We do work in a little bit of Asia as well. And yeah, the whole point is to equip them, because the last thing we want to do is go in and, you know, do it ourselves and then leave. And they're like, well, we don't know how to do this. So yeah, we're trying to equip those churches.
One of the things you said that was interesting was this idea of treating children as maybe future believers, that the focus is not on children because they are, when they come of age, then we'll do this, that type of thing. And so that approach of treating children as not just future believers or future disciples or disciple makers, but rather present disciples and disciple makers. As you guys have pursued this, well, in the last 27 years of that shift for the leaders of the ministry, but more specifically, as you have gone about doing that or making that shift from microfinance to this, what have you seen as maybe some of the results that come from focusing on children? You've been doing this for a while now, and so what are some of the things that you've seen as you've put this into play?
One of the benefits of Tomorrow Clubs being around so long is that you get to hear some really sweet stories of the long-term effect of what I would call just small steps of faithfulness. You know, when you're discipling children, there's a lot of times where you leave a week, and you think, did I really make a difference? Did anything that I said or did that produce any fruit? And we heard a story earlier this year. Obviously, we all know about the war in Ukraine that's going on and the difficulty of that. And that's as I mentioned, the country we started in. And one of our co-laborers in the field, it was a different missionary who was working with victims of in the war, was speaking with a wounded soldier. And he was telling him about the gospel and asking him, hey, do you have a relationship with Jesus? And this soldier told him, he said, yeah, I do. I came to know Jesus as my savior in a Tomorrow Club. So this man who, you know, is probably in his 20s at this point, or maybe early 30s, is speaking, still speaking about how his life was transformed through a Tomorrow Club. And, you know, praise God for that, right? That it's obviously him working and we're just the vessels through that. But that's the feedback loop. Sometimes is very long, but it's awesome to see the fruit after, you know, 20 years, 25 years of working in that country.
Yeah, that's cool. What's a typical week look like for a Tomorrow Club's kid or child?
So the typical structure is that once a week, they're meeting for 1 or 2 hours. A lot of times it's during the week. It's not on a Sunday. You know, it's not the case for all of our clubs. And the structure of the club is really broken down into, there's a time of, you know, a gospel story being shared, whether that's, you know, from the New Testament or the Old Testament. And then there's also a time of scripture memorization. That's a part of our clubs. And then there's also what we would call either like hobby time or like a life skill development time. So that could look as something as simple as, you know, doing crafts with the kids and a time where you can build a relationship with them. Or it's maybe learning how to do simple farming techniques. A lot of the clubs in Africa are doing a little bit more of that because mm-hmm. there's a little bit more emphasis on the importance of creating a living for their future families.
Yeah, those agrarian cultures.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
That's cool. How does this model maybe help children not just learn about Jesus, but actually learn to follow him?
Yeah, so one of the things I'm most proud of with Tomorrow Clubs is we have really awesome curriculum. One of our board members currently helped us develop this curriculum. And since then, we've really built off of that to make curriculum that, one, engages kids, but is super biblically centered and elevates Jesus as king. So we also do have a teen curriculum. So Tomorrow Clubs operates from ages, you know, 5 to 12 with our what we call our core kid curriculum. But then we also have teen curriculum that is essentially more topical, talking about, you know, how do I pursue purity, or how do I pursue obedience to the word in XYZ situation as they get older. We have that's the teen program. But we also encourage and train our leaders to live out the biblical truths that they're teaching the kids, as well as to share personal testimonies. And I think that's really important because we really want the kids to be able to see that their leaders are really believing this and that they're living it out. And that makes a difference between maybe just reading something in the text versus getting it into your heart. We want to get that information from their mind down into their heart. And I think that both the curriculum and the leadership and personal testimonies really helps that.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys provide training for adults within these churches so that when you do move out of that location or hand it over to the church, that those adults are equipped to not just be disciple makers, but to raise up their children to be that as well?
Yeah. So our structure is that in each country, we have a program director, and then underneath that program director, we either have a program director assistant or we have regional coordinators. And those two individuals, those two roles, are really tasked with all of the training. So we really pour a lot of time and energy into our program directors and into our regional coordinators. And they are so passionate about Tomorrow Clubs. I love spending time with them. We've actually never had a program director quit over the length of our ministry. So they love what they're doing. And their task is then they go and train these volunteers. So the program director and regional coordinators are paid positions for us. And then they're training the volunteers of the church to be equipped so that they can serve the kids of their community. And a lot of times the program director or regional coordinator has a good relationship with a lot of these churches, and they're checking in on them and providing some additional support where needed. Different churches need more support than others, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen, or what change have you seen in some of these volunteers, but maybe specifically these regional leaders, as they've invested in children over time? You mentioned that they don't usually leave their roles. So obviously, they, like you said, they love their job. So what kind of transformation are you seeing in them as they engage with younger generations?
Yeah, so two types of influence that we have seen from our leaders and how they have grown personally is I think they have grown in a personal reliance on the Lord themselves. Starting a club is a little bit daunting for some of these leaders because maybe it's because there's not a lot of kids in the church, or they don't know how much interest there is. And the last thing you want to do is start this club and nobody shows up. And our director of operations was sharing this one story with me where one of our club leaders was a woman who was pretty nervous about launching her first club. Our church didn't really have activities like this previously, and she didn't know if anyone was going to show up. But she took this step of faith and was like, all right, we're gonna start a tomorrow club and see how it goes. And yeah, now she's having dozens of kids showing up regularly. And I think that just allows you as an older individual, and for her, just to grow in reliance on God and just to understand his faithfulness. That it reminds me of this story where Jesus used, you know, a boy's fish and you know, a little bit of bread, and he multiplied it to feed the 5,000. A lot of times God's just calling us to take small steps of faithfulness, and then he's the one who multiplies it. You know, we're not in control of that. And then the second thing that we've seen with our leaders is, as they have been going through the curriculum themselves, and as they have been, you know, going back through the Bible, we've seen them grow spiritually and also grow in repentance of things that they need to repent of and grow in. We saw this specifically in one individual in Africa, one of our leaders in Africa. So, yeah, the curriculum can impact hearts of any age, because it's really just based on the Bible, and the Bible impacts all of us.
Yeah. What are the, this discipleship and disciple making call, right, that commission invitation that God gives all of us to partner with him in this redemptive story, that's a first and foremost, a family call, right? That this is taking place, within the family, and not just reserved for the church. I think that that's one of the, at least in the West, one of the struggles that I think the church has had is, or our culture has had, is that we want to just push that responsibility to our churches. And when in reality, that call and that invitation is within the family first. So what does it look like for you? Obviously you're working in places where, there might be crisis of a lack of fatherhood or you know, similar situations. So what does it look like for you guys to understand that this is a familial call first, and how do you position yourselves to engage with children and their families in a way that maybe empowers the family to make disciples of their own children?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, as parents of children, our requirement and our calling is to raise them up to know the Lord. And that's not ultimately a burden on the church. It's a burden on the parents to go and do that well. And I think Tomorrow Club's focus on discipling the next generation, our hope is that we are creating future fathers and future mothers that will be able to take up that calling really well. And then secondly, we're really focused, obviously, on strengthening the church. And we want the church to be a strong place where those moms, where those dads can come and know that their children are being discipled in the church. And hopefully through, you know, these volunteers working together, our hope, I believe, is that these parents can then also sharpen each other through their time doing ministry together, which would ultimately allow them to be better parents, to be better representations of Christ to their kids. Because you're right, ultimately the family is where that discipleship needs to start. And then to touch on, yeah, the crisis situation, we are stepping into some of those where, unfortunately, because of sin in the world, yeah, we're having to take on a role that we probably... we wish in some ways we didn't have to take on, and that's hard, and that's sad, but it's a way that we can be a light to some of those kids who are going through some tough stuff.
An opportunity to step into need. So much of the discipleship process, especially when we're engaging new people, it requires us to step into need first, right? And so if all we're doing is teaching people about the Bible and there's not a compassion element to what we're doing, then
yeah,
we might not ever get that opportunity. So that's a huge opportunity for you guys, it sounds like, to step into an existing need that we know is real, and be a light and be of service in that place.
Yeah, and we've really seen that need specifically in Ukraine. I mean, it's been really difficult because the men, the fathers of the home, are being, you know, drafted into war. And mm-hmm. but there are kids who are coming to our clubs who are experiencing fatherlessness, either in the form of their dad is fighting in a war or their dad has been, you know, killed in war. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're going through an event that, yeah, we wouldn't wish on anyone, but it offers an opportunity for them to grow in relationship with the Lord and understand that their Heavenly Father still loves them, even when they mm-hmm. can't be with their dad. And that's really weighty and really, really difficult.
I'm sure. What are some of the common misconceptions that keep churches from maybe prioritizing children's discipleship and children's ministry?
Yeah, I think some of the common misconceptions are, first, just the attitude of the church that they're looking to grow members here and now, and kids don't fall in that class. So they're looking to speak and minister to those who can be members, and they'll get to the children later. And I think we often see pastors who are really stretched in and really, really, really busy. And they're like, I don't have time to do work with the children because I'm spending all this time with the adults. And really that comes down to a lack of, you know, delegating. They probably don't necessarily have time because they're right. They are doing a lot of other work. I think in a lot of churches, there isn't a lot of resources in terms of personnel put forth, for discipling kids. That's not across the board. We see some churches who do that really, really well. And even churches that do that really well still have problems that exist. But like I said earlier, I think the Lord is calling us just to small acts of faithfulness. And a lot of times churches, I think, can be fearful of that first step. You know, it's like, well, how would we minister to these kids? What do we want to do? You know, how can we don't have the resources. We don't have the time. And I think just taking that first step of faithfulness in, all right, well, let's just start a gathering and we're going to present the gospel to them, right? We're going to read scripture. A lot of our clubs aren't doing, you know, these really crazy expensive projects. They're just getting kids together. We're reading scripture. We're talking about who Jesus is and what a relationship with Christ means. And we're creating a couple of fun activities that are related to the gospel text that we read. So it just takes small steps of faithfulness. And I think a lot of times those can be scary steps for churches. Mm.
What kind of church do you think would emerge if we would maybe take children's discipleship, I guess, seriously?
Yeah, a church that gets me really excited, first of all. And I think a church that would be full of people from all ages that have a mature faith. I think, you know, mature faith, it's not limited to an age. It's not like, oh, once you get to 18, you now have the brain power to have mature faith. I don't think there's anything in the Bible about an age requirement for a mature faith. And I think it'd be a church that would be full of more mature believers. And I think it would also be a church that would know how to make disciples. I think that's something we're really passionate about. We really want these kids to know how to make disciples and to know how to present the gospel to others. We've seen a lot of examples where kids are ministering to their parents and their parents then become involved in the church. Specifically in one club in South Africa that we work in, a really, really tough area in terms of crime. We had our first club in South Africa, and they're meeting in a tent. And we went back 3 years later. Our founder and executive director went back 3 years later And they talked to the pastor, and he informed them that 60 families were now coming to the church who had never stepped foot into a church before because of the Tomorrow Club. The kids were going, and they were seeing the fruit in their children, and they were like, oh, maybe we should check out this church thing. Maybe it's not as weird or bad as everyone's saying it is. So I think, yeah, a church full of, I guess to get back to your question, a church full of disciple makers.
Yeah. Are there any other stories that you've seen through the Tomorrow Clubs that have been impactful for you that you'd want to share that might highlight what God is doing to just invite kids into this redemptive story in partnership with Him?
Yeah, I think one story that comes to mind was when I was in Zimbabwe last January, and we were traveling out to some of our clubs. You know, Tomorrow Clubs, it's a core element. It's more of just where we happen to work a lot of times is in really rural areas or impoverished areas. One, that's either because that's where we find the churches need the free curriculum and maybe need the training. Mm-hmm. There's not many ministries who work in, you know, the bush of Africa or the outskirts of Romania and things like that. But we were traveling out on an African road. And for anyone who's been on an African road, that when you get out, you know, 3 hours past the city, it's not really a road. It's just more of a divider. Yeah, exactly. We're just off-roading. You know, I was there by myself, and one of our regional coordinators was coming along with us that day. And she had her, I think, 2 or 3 year old daughter with her because her husband, I'm assuming, was working that day. And so she had to take her with her. And mm-hmm. So she cared for this 2 or 3 year old the whole drive to get to this club. And then when we got to the club, it's not necessarily her responsibility to lead the individual segments of the club, because that's what the volunteers are doing. And she's just training them and overseeing them. So she could have very easily just been taking a day off once we got there and just kind of watching. But she saw a need for the youngest group. There's a lot of kids, and they were just being kids and needed a fun game, kind of fun game break. So she just led this group of kids and created this fun game that gave them a little bit of break in their lesson. And I thought that was amazing because she just spent, you know, 3 hours in the car caring for her daughter. And then when she got there, she was just so full of life, so excited to serve the kids. She just stepped right in, did an amazing job. And I think it just really highlights how amazing it is when people are being the hands and feet of Jesus, and when they're really passionate about the work that He has called them to, they just step in and do hard things. That probably wasn't her favorite thing to do that day, but she did it really well and did it really faithfully. So that was an encouragement to me for the work that I'm doing.
Mm. If people want to learn more about Tomorrow Clubs, get a hold of you guys, maybe partner with what you are doing, how can they do so?
Well, one of my favorite things to do is I love talking to our donors and to our supporters. So you know, I'll be providing my contact information if they want to email me and chat about what they're passionate about, what this stirred up in them, you know, questions they may have. That would be the easiest way about talking next steps. And then also I would say that they should check out our 2030 vision on our website. Our 2030 vision is that we want to reach 100,000 kids who are actively attending clubs. That's not cumulative. That's not like 100,000 kids since the start. It's 100,000 kids that are actively going to Tomorrow Clubs each week by 2030. Right now we're at around 47,000. So essentially it's, you know, doubling our ministry in around 5 years. And I think that would open up their mind and heart to why they should partner with us and the ways in which they can. And that is found online, and they can also get a copy of that by emailing me as well.
That's cool. Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Trevor. As we wrap up, can I pray for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to have a conversation and learn about what you're doing through Tomorrow Clubs International and Trevor and the rest of the team there. Pray that you would just continue to go before them. You would lead and guide and give wisdom and direction, that you would provide with the resources that they need for what they feel like you've called them to next. We ask that you would just step into this ministry and continue to move and transform the hearts and minds of children to be disciple makers, to walk in obedience to this call and invitation, really, to partnership with you in this redemptive story and what that mission can look like. I pray that you would just set a fire in the hearts of these kids to be on mission for you and to walk in obedience to that, but to also understand that you've invited them into deep and intimate relationship with you, the creator of heaven and earth, and pray that that would be what is the driving force behind their obedience, that they would be so in love with you that they can't help but just want to walk in obedience to your call in their lives and your invitation to partnership in that mission. Lord, thank you for Trevor and his willingness to come on the show and share his story and share the story of Tomorrow Clubs. We just pray that you bless him and go before him in his role. We thank you so much for who you are and all you've done and the ways in which you provide and care and love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trevor, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, Zach, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being on.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We'll see you later. Discipleship almost never feels efficient. You don't always see the results right away. You don't always know if the seeds are planting or taking root. And when you're investing in children, that feedback loop can feel especially long. But as we heard today, faithfulness has a way of compounding. A child discipled today grows into a believer tomorrow. A believer becomes a disciple maker. A family finds its way into the life of the church. That's the kind of long view we care about at Reliant. We work with churches and ministries who are doing faithful work that doesn't always translate into clear language, compelling stories, or systems that help others see what God is doing over time. And when those stories stay untold, support stalls, vision blurs, and leaders carry more than they should alone. If today's conversation resonated with you, here's a simple next step. Visit Reliant Creative to learn how we help ministries clarify their message, strengthen their storytelling, and build communication systems that support long-term discipleship and mission. And if you're leading a church or ministry and wrestling with how to communicate your vision, your impact, or your next faithful step, we'd love to have a confidential conversation. No pressure, just clarity. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. All right, that last take was good. One take. The episode itself has a lot of edits. There's at least three that I remember, so pay attention to those edits. Trevor at least had three times where he had to start his answer over, so pay attention to those breaks. There's at least three, there may be four. So I wanted to make note of that. I'll also make note.